Welcome to season 3 of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen podcast. Every day, the California Cattlemen's Association is sorting through the issues impacting California's ranching families and producers. To communicate those issues, discuss solutions, and keep ranchers current on the hot topics, CCA leadership developed this podcast and is continuing it in 2023. Tune in every other Monday to hear updates on legislative and regulatory fronts in Sacramento, deep dives into current events, challenges, and more. Well, welcome back to another episode of season 3 of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen podcast. Today, we're going to switch gears and talk about the Ranchers Technical Assistance Program. Hopefully by now you've heard of the program. It is supported through the California Cattle Council. That is where the program gets its funding. But what it is, for a quick rundown, if you don't remember, if you haven't heard, it's a program that provides free regulatory assistance for all California cattle ranchers in California. So not just CCA members, not just if you're a member of your local association, it provides support to everyone. And the goal is for the program to help ranchers stay ahead of the latest regulatory requirements by providing the help of Jack and Noah, who run the program, to do the assistance and to help you understand and navigate pretty complex regulatory and environmental issues and even business issues in California. So that's the program. Today, we're going to chat with Noah, who has been on the podcast before. So thanks for joining me, Noah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always good to catch up with you. We were just talking about how we've seen plenty of rain this week. I think it's safe to say, no matter where you are in the state, you're definitely feeling a little bit more moisture than probably you thought you would. Hopefully everyone is staying safe. And amid some of the flooding and other extremes that have happened from the weather, hopefully you're recovering all right. If you're not, though, I think Noah has some tips for maybe if you have infrastructure damage or flooding, of how you can get some help either through FSA or other programs. So I'm going to let Noah chat about that real quick before we get into the bulk of the episode.
For anybody that is having issues, the USDA's FSA, the Farm Service Agency, does provide assistance for flooding, but it's important that you reach out to your local FSA office to understand what an eligible loss is and understand what an eligible disaster is or what an eligible flood is. So if you need help reaching out to your local FSA office or getting in touch with your FSA officers, you can reach out to us at RTAP. We can put you in touch with them, or you can just try to go on the FSA's website and use their office locator function and find your local office. But definitely worth looking into if you've experienced losses due to flooding.
I know the FSA programs can be kind of intimidating, even just looking at the differences between the programs that they have for assistance can be super confusing. So we're not going to go over all of that today. But if you do have questions, definitely reach out. We'll be sure to link for this entire episode Noah's contact information and how to get in touch with Jack and Noah in the podcast description. And then I'll also put that link to how to contact your local FSA office, just in case you want to go directly through them. We wanted to use this episode to talk about a few different things. Two of them are pretty big changes for the year. One's a deadline, one's a regulation. So we're going to start with that. In the second half of the episode, we'll go through some of the work that RTAP has done. I think we've talked a lot about how RTAP can help producers, what they can do for you. But we wanted to share a little bit kind of what they've done over the last year and a half. Maybe it'll spark an idea for you on how to get assistance, or maybe it'll just be something that you can tell your neighbor that it's an option for them as well. So give you a few ideas. So we've talked a lot about SB 88 and that deadline changing. We had a podcast last year on it. If you receive our Hot Irons newsletter, it's actually the full topic of this month, is the deadline change and how to navigate it. But let's talk about it here as well. What is, kind of in a quick rundown, SB 88, and when is the deadline and what's coming up for producers?
In the last year and a half of RTAP, we've received a lot of inquiries, and we calculated how many of those inquiries had to do with SB 88 or the State Water Resource Control Board's water measurement regulations. A full 50% of the inquiries that we've received have to do with this regulation. So it's definitely worth mentioning and worth talking about. SB 88 was a bill passed in 2015 that required the State Water Resources Control Board to adopt regulations for measurement and reporting for water diversions in California. And in 2016, those regulations were codified into the California Code of Regulations. And so it's been 7 years. Most of us are familiar with the regulations, but essentially it requires that water diverters record and measure and then report those measurements to the State Water Board annually. There's different measurement requirements for different sizes and types of diversions. So for example, if you're diverting to storage versus diverting directly, you have a different requirement for the accuracy of the device you measure with, as well as the frequency of the measurements you take. Like Katie mentioned, all that information can be found in this month's Hot Irons. It can be found on the State Water Board's website, or you could reach out to us directly and we could help you understand what the requirements are for your specific case. But either way, the due date has recently changed. In 2021, SB 155 consolidated and changed the due date for the reports. Previously, reports were either due April 1st or July 1st, depending on the type of water right. Now, all reports are going to be due February 1st. So regardless of your water right, the report is due February 1st. Also changing is the reporting period. So previously, diverters reported on the calendar year, that's January through December. And now the reports are going to be for the water year, which is October through September of the following year.
So not only do we have a deadline change, but what you're actually reporting for water usage as far as timeline, that is changing as well. As Noah said, just to repeat, the deadline is February 1st now, and that'll be the deadline moving forward. It was different last year, but February 1st is the date to remember now. So highly recommend that if you have any questions or concerns or just you don't even really know what we're talking about, but you want to make sure you're good, to give Noah and Jack a call.
I might add too that the State Water Board for the last few years has been publishing a list of water rights or diverters that they believe are not in compliance with the water measurement regulations. And that list can be found online, but it provides some incentive to make sure that you're in compliance. The water board is paying attention and they are keeping track of who's reporting and who's not reporting. So if you have any questions, it can be kind of intimidating if it's the first time reporting and you haven't been doing it and you're getting familiar with the process, but Jack and I can help sort through all those questions and help you get on the right track.
The other regulation today we wanted to talk about that just became effective on January 1st comes from the California Air Resources Board. So what do we need to know about this regulation, Noah?
So the California Air Resources Board, CARB, passed a set of regulations colloquially referred to as the Truck and Bus Regulation in 2010. And one aspect of those regulations went into effect on January 1st of this year. So essentially, the regulations require that for vehicles with a GVWR, or gross vehicle weight rating, of 14,000 pounds or more that are older than 2010 may be denied registration at the DMV. There's a couple ways around this. The first way is to update engine model year, or the engine of the vehicle, so that it is newer than 2010. Obviously, that's not feasible or practical in most circumstances.
Yeah.
The second way is to apply for an exemption, which allows vehicles that are travel less than 1,000 miles annually on the road to still receive registration. Yeah. Again, this exemption isn't super practical as it doesn't provide a lot of flexibility, but it does exist. There is a case out there where it could be put to use.
Yeah. So if you just had an older truck, if you're using to go to the feed store in town a couple miles, you're not putting 1,000 miles on it a year, but you need it registered just to go to town, that might work.
Yep. That's kind of the scenario where that could be useful. Other than that, there's probably a small range of vehicles that this really applies to. It's vehicles larger than a 3,500 or 4,500 size pickup with GVWRs larger than 14,000 pounds. There's kind of a small group of vehicles this may apply to. And so if your vehicle is one of those, it's definitely worth looking into the exemptions and seeing if one of those might work for you.
So if you do get something when you get your registration renewal, something looks a little off, maybe this is why, maybe not. Obviously, Noah knows a lot about it, so feel free to give him a call. But we just wanted to kind of put this out there as a heads up. We already talked about water and transportation, but I know in the last year and a half, you and Jack have covered a lot of other territory. As we've talked about before on this podcast, RTAP has covered a lot of other issues and helped producers with anything from agritourism to, like we said, water reporting, and pretty much anything in between. So we want to take this time to kind of highlight some of those and talk through a couple of the cases and stories from RTAP and how Jack and Noah have been able to help producers through some regulations and compliance. So I think it'd be great to hear about maybe a story or two or an issue that you think maybe producers might not know that you could help them with.
Well, we mentioned the water reporting, and I think we've done a lot of work with ranchers that have reached out, not even knowing about the regulation, and we help them understand specifically for their diversion, how to go in, create an eRIMS account, how to report and walk people through that process. But then there's been other issues that have been really interesting for me personally to learn about. So one example is fire insurance. It's an unfortunate fact that a lot of ranchers have been losing their insurance coverage due to high fire scores. And so we had a rancher reach out asking about how the insurance companies actually derive those fire scores, what data they're using in their maps, and why certain areas have higher scores than others, even when it might not seem like they should. And so we did a lot of research into that question, where we were able to provide the producer with a little bit of a report about how insurance agencies come up with these fire scores. And I think that's a good example of the kind of work we can do, even if it's not really solving a specific issue, but just helping inform somebody and helping educate. That's the kind of thing we can do.
I think it's a skill to be able to find information and or find it quickly. And that is something that you and Jack are very skilled at, and Kirk Wilbur in our office too. So that's a great point, that even if you're not specifically doing something or finding an answer, it's just pointing them in the right direction.
It takes a lot of time to go in and research these issues. And I think the idea of the program is that ranchers already have a lot to do. And sometimes it can be useful to pass these tasks off to someone like Jack and I, and Jack and I can do that work for you. Another good example of an issue that has come up a few times, or an area that's come up a few times that we've been able to research, are slaughter and sale regulations. As people look into moving into direct-to-consumer sales, there's a lot of regulations that they might not be aware of, or they might need to become familiar with. So at different times, we put together lists of specific regulations and applicable laws for people looking to move into direct-to-consumer marketing.
I actually didn't even know you guys were working on that, so that's great to hear. And I think a lot of people would be interested to know more about that. That conversation, I think, is only going to continue. It seems like a strange start to the year to go from talking about drought for 5 years to praying for rain to now just being inundated with rain. So it seems weird not to be talking about drought. Hopefully get more rain just in a longer amount of time as the winter continues. But I feel like it is a little confusing to be talking about like what issues we might be facing this year. All of that said, you guys are well-versed in tons of issues, but you also have some resources. I know you've made some fact sheets. You've done some other reporting and kind of resources to help producers. What are some of those that you already have made that producers could reach out and get from you right away?
Yeah, so we put together different fact sheets, including ones on federal assistance programs. We've updated CCA's transportation fact sheet. Another resource we've been putting together are SGMA snapshots. SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, is implemented locally across the state. So it looks different in every basin and in every jurisdiction. And so something we've done for ranchers is provide information about SGMA implementation specific to their area to bring them up to speed on what SGMA implementation is looking like and how they can get engaged.
Great. I know there's a lot of questions about SGMA. So again, if you have questions on that or any of the other fact sheets that Noah mentioned, hit the podcast description for this episode and you'll get directed right to Noah's contact info. I know there'll be lots to come in this year, but I think that's a good place to stop. The last thing that we wanted to mention as far as RTAP goes is come see RTAP in the trade show at Red Bluff. If you're going up for the bull and gelding sale, the Cattle Council and RTAP does have a booth that'll be in the trade show. CCA staff will also probably be around the booth and helping chat with producers as well. So if you're wanting to meet with either CCA staff or the RTAP team, look for us at Red Bluff. Noah, I know you're going to be up there quite a bit of the week, right?
Planning on being up there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And then Noah's teammate, Jack Rice, will also be up there. If there's something that came up from this podcast, or maybe you've been wanting to get in touch with them for a while, I think Noah and Jack would be happy to set up a time beforehand to make sure you connect. Be sure to reach out to them and maybe set that time up, or just feel free to stop by the trade show and then we can chat there. Other than that, Noah, I'm excited to see you next week. And as always, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. If anybody has any issue that we can help with, big or little, we're here to help and we're here to do the work on your behalf. So please reach out.
I think it's hard to remember that a couple years ago, the Cattle Council didn't even exist and we didn't even have an opportunity like this. I think it's important to keep putting it out there, and glad that you're on the team and producers can reach out to you for all the help they need.
Definitely. Thank you.
If you're going to Red Bluff, we'll see you there. And if not, we'll look forward to seeing you soon.